Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. As we celebrate our 71st church anniversary, we are bringing you some classic sermons from Dr. Williams dating back to the late 80s and early 90s. So kick back, relax, and enjoy a powerful word from the Lord.
I am and sometimes I am down. Sometimes I am almost level to the ground.
Lord, I want to be a Christian. In my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. Ooh. You know I want to be more holy in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Ooh, I said I want to be more loving. Way, way, way. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Ooh, I said I want to be like Jesus.
In my heart.
and in every way. I wanna be way more loving. And I need to be more holy. And I wanna be a Christian. Don't you wanna be a Christian in your heart? Way down in my heart, I wanna be a Christian. Every day and every way, I wanna be like Jesus in my heart. Oh, yes I do now. In my heart.
him who will not leave you. Oh, whatever this year may bring, sometimes your friends and your loved ones, they might forsake you. Oh, but stand on his word and more closely to Jesus cling. Oh, why don't you? God's hand, his unchanging hand. Hold on, hold on. Might come your way, you better hold on, hold on, why don't you hold on? Oh, just build your hope, your joy, your peace on things above, yeah. You better.
Others in our background, but our main focus will be on 8, verses 8 and 9, rather 8 through 10. And that's important for us today, moving forward with Jesus. Moving forward with Jesus. We need your prayers. We're happy to see Mr. Berkeley with us this morning. Berkeley. Shared in our congregation, help us remodel our church. When you open the Bible to any page, you immediately see three things wherever you might open your Bible. Number one, subject heading. You'll see it if you study the Bible, some subject heading. For an example, Revelation 5 talks about God's great love. John 3:16, the primary heading, it talks about So, God, you have, number one, I said subject heading. Number two, there are always major points in whatever page of the Bible you read. Number three, there's commentaries on every point. You don't have to buy one. It's in the Bible. Half of them you buy is not correct anyway. Number one, the fact of the matter is in this world, God so loved. That's number one, that's a fact. Number two, the evidence of his love God gave. And you people, you members of this church in Radio Land and your friends, you quit chewing on this stuff when people say that I love you and they mistreat you. The evidence that they love you, they don't mistreat you. Number two, the evidence they love you, they don't use you. Now, the evidence of God's love he gave. Now, the major points of this is number three, the purpose. The purpose that he gave was from my Bible to save. Now, what is he saving them from? Saving them from, this is amazing, the major points. Saving them from, number one, perishing. Okay, how good you've been. You was perishing. Number two, he saved them to give them eternal life. That's the purpose, the major point. Number three, under number three, save them by their belief. Believing in him. Now, number four, on the major points, the proof. I'm talking about God's proof now. His proof, moving forward with the Father Jesus. The proof was God sent. You know, people call you up and say, I love you, and I heard about this, and if I'd have thought about it. Now, look. Let me explain something. If a tragedy comes, what motivates them they didn't think about it? A man said to me, he said, I got sick, and I used my unemployment. And then I used up my savings, and he says, I don't have anything. Now, what would I look like saying to him, you ought to have thought about this day, and he just explained to me, he used up everything he had. The evidence, I said, the proof that God loves us, he sent his son. And so, when people talk about, I love you, watch how they treat you. Rogers tell me he loved me and I'm hungry. He tell me he's going to pray for me. I don't want to hear him. In fact, I wouldn't listen to him. Now, don't tell me I'm not minimizing prayer. But he got prayer answered in his pocket. Buy me some ham and cheese and sandwich and make it. Don't tell me about God's going to do it and he got it in his pocket. God has blessed him. I said the proof is God sent his son. Now his son, the incarnation. The incarnation. And he sent his son not to condemn. Now, all this condemning that you all are doing, I want you to put it off in 1991. Lay it aside. It's all right to condemn, providing you are Jesus. There's something wrong with every one of y'all sitting here, and every one of y'all in Radio Land, every one of y'all going to come here, and every one of y'all have already gone. The only thing straightening you out was the blood of Jesus. Oh, I know. And then he says, he sent us not to condemn, but to save. And the means, my friend, the means of the salvation is through him, not us. And I said, when you open your Bible, you immediately you turn into a subject heading, major points, and then you have a commentary on the points. And I just gave you the major points. I gave you the commentary, and I gave you, my friend, the subheading, Revelation, God's great love. Now we're going to get into something, and I did not tell you, I did not say it. You just read it. It's in your Bible. Something that if the Christian family is going to move forward, they're going to have to pull them off. No ifs and ands about it. We have to pull them off. Let's back up here. The first glance of our subheading. Glance at the subject heading and the major points. The Christian believers are a family of baptized believers in one body in Christ. Tonight, this afternoon, or this evening, we are going to be taking of the Lord's Supper. All of us are drinking of His blood, eating of His body, and then we need to find out why we eat and why we drinking. And that is because we have been accepted into the kingdom by the blood of Jesus, not our good name or our background, but on Jesus Christ. Because Rockefeller is rich and was rich and will be rich, but he got to have the same Jesus. If he's going to get to heaven, God doesn't save rich and the poor. All is just alike. Then, my friends, now you look very carefully here. You take a, and when you read the Bible, stop glancing at it. You have not got a grip on God's word. You have not received the power of His word through the Holy Spirit. You have no handle on God's word until it starts working in your own life. You've just been reading for some information, and it won't work. Let me give you a good example. I remember, I won't ever forget this. I was 9 years old, and my mother said, "Now, you've been able to cook this and cook that. Now it's time to make a cake." Being a child, I didn't want to do it. So she turned her back. I throw something else in it. And because I didn't know. I thought I was getting by. Remember what I'm saying? But you see, what happened, what I throwed in it came out in the oven. And all of your stuff going to come out from you wherever you are. I don't care where you are. Your stuff won't get away. And so we have to pull off some stuff. And this Bible gave you, you say, "Well, I don't know what to pull off." No, don't tell that lie no more. The Bible gives you an answer. What the Christian believer got to pull off in 1991. And let me line them up here for you. I didn't put it in here. Turn back to you. Open your Bible and look at it. It says here, what you got to pull off if you're going to move forward with Jesus. Number one, but now ye also. He talked about those people who, see, the first part of this scripture talked about people, what they was doing in life before they got saved. Now here's what you got to be careful with. You got to be careful with in 1991. If you was a fornicator before you got saved, you ought to have some kind of patience with those who just got saved. You don't think God has forgotten you and mold you into the holy of holiness and let you go on free and you just crossed over last night. It won't work. Now, I didn't read it. It says right here, you see, for which things, look at verse 5. Now, that's the list of us. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon children disobedient, for in which ye also did what? Sometime. Now, you didn't do it all the time because you wasn't able, but sometime. When ye lived in them before you got saved. Now, here's what I want to get to. Here's my emphasis this morning. What the Christian believer, you won't move farther with a lot of weights on. It's not going to work. You got to shake some stuff off of you. I told you earlier, move yourself from doubters. Don't hang on doubters. Take it from your pastor and take it from Jesus. Jesus did not spend no time with Thomas. After Thomas doubted him, read the record. He moved on from Thomas. And the reason he did that, he could not let the world see him running with doubters. Because if you run with doubters, the world will say, "You are a doubter." He could not let the world see him running with a fighter like Brother Peter, because Jesus was a peace lover, yet he was sound, powerful in his doctrine. He says, you got to pull off, number one, anger. Now, a whole lot of people in church today is mad and don't know what they're mad about. Just mad. Well, if you don't know what you're mad about, I'll tell you how to overcome it. Get on your knees. Tell God, "I'm so confused, I don't even know what I'm mad about." I was reading recently, someone sent me an article in a newspaper that they called this preacher to this particular church. And when he got there, they had a lady in this church that had been there for 49 years. And the preacher was preaching that Sunday morning, and he was saying that we don't have no young folks in this church. And tell me why. And he said, we're going to get some young folks in here. He says, I'm 47, and we don't have no young folks in here. He said, if I'm not careful, I'm 47 in numbers, I act like I'm 60. He said, we got to have some young blood to shift us around. Lady got up and said, we didn't do all right ever before you got here. We didn't have no young folks, and we'll do all right when you're gone. And he said, but I tell you, sister, I'm not going nowhere. You're going. And she raised all kind of hell for 6 months. And after the 6 months up, they lowered her in the ground. You don't give God no orders. Why do we get this stuff and young folks can't be in the church working for God? And all of you all was once young. You all done got a little older now, but you all have always been old. And when we who are old don't want young folks around us, we're dying. And let me move here. It says pull off anger. Okay, now anger. My friend, just angry. You look at them, their expression is just don't bother me. Leave me alone. What do you mean? Just let me be. Well, now, what kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you if you got to just be? Leave me alone. You can't be left alone. Here's what the Bible says. It says we are not to lie to one another. We are to be with one another. So what God are you serving? You got to be left alone. And I mean, I don't want to be bothered. This is just my way. Well, the devil, that's why Jesus saved you from your way, so you won't be lost. That's the Bible. So being angry. Paul, and I'll get into that in a minute. We're living in a world that is critical. This world that we're in, I don't know where you all are aware, this world is messed up. And my friend, and we who are Christians got to help straighten it out. And we're living in a world that is divided. Divisions are everywhere. All over every political party we have, there's divisions in it. There's divisions in our home. And we're living in a world where there's prejudice. It's bad to be prejudiced between races. But it's worse to be prejudiced among yourself. That we're on a rise now where light-skinned black folks is talking about dark-skinned black folks. Well, if you're black, you're just black. Care what color you are. If you're white, you're white. Don't come tell me about I was born in New York and I'm not a Californian. You're still white. We have prejudice on every hand. Folks don't want to be around. Little folks don't want to be around. Big folks. Big folks don't want to be next to little folks. Little folks want to stay skinny because I don't want to look like him or her and die. Eating all that garbage trying to be little. And I'll tell you something, some of that stuff is putting you away 10 years younger. Some of us are going to be big whether you eat or drink. Learn to accept what you have and praise God for it. And then, my friend, with favoritism. If you don't vote for this, I'm not going to vote, and don't you vote. Well, you're losing your favor with God by fighting some favoritism of the world. And then, my friend, we live in a world of anger, hate, pride, a war, not walls in the Middle East, but war in us. We're living in a world, we got to get rid of it. We're killing one another, assassinating their character. If you know it, let me tell you something. I just got through dealing with it. If a brother is bad, low down, and dirty, we say. Now, you must don't know what your job is. If your job is if he's low down and dirty, what scripture are you reading? The scripture says if he's low down and dirty, and you know it, you have a charge. You got to go to this low-down, dirty brother and sit down and reason with him. The Bible says when you're done all and can't do no more, get another brother supposed to be clean and right. Take him with you. If you haven't done that, you have become the same as the brother who's low-down and dirty. He might not know he's low-down. But if you are righteous, now I didn't say that. Paul said that if a man is overtaken in a fault, He, you who is spiritually not what you think, what you feel, but if your spirit should go to him and restore him. Now, that's the Bible. And so the Bible says, killing folks, a character is worse than murdering them. That person might be engaged by the Holy Spirit to bring souls to Christ. And you kill their character and souls go to hell because of what you have done, their blood is going to have to be answered at your hand. That's the Bible. Some of us in this church would never shoot a man, but we'll destroy a man or a woman's character. Murder them. And then there's a lot of arguing going on among Christians. Why should we argue when we are saved? Oh my God. Selfishness. I'm so selfish. When I grab this chair, you get out of here, Troy. This is my chair. The only chair you have is yourself. And if God saved you, he got a seat in heaven waiting for you. But all of these seats is mobile. When you leave here today, you're going to leave this seat, this pew here with you. You're not taking no pew home. If you did, you wouldn't, because it belongs to the church. And you don't want to have a holy pew in a home unholy. That's the Bible. And so my friends, I'm arguing about stuff that means nothing to us. We got to lay it aside if we're going to move forward with Jesus Christ. Selfishness. Some people, and I observe this. Some people go to visit another church. They pass the plate by them. Selfish. I'm not giving to nobody but St. Paul. And you haven't given to St. Paul until you can open up. You must have a free spirit. If you want God to bless you, and I tell you something, any man or any woman sat in church and work every day and don't give no money to God's program, I question your salvation. You can't be saved and God give you strength to go to work and car to ride in and health to move you around and eyes to see, muscles to move, and you work all the week and get a paycheck and I'm not giving nothing. You might not even be saved. Because everything I have belongs to him. Oh, I know I'm right here. Help me here, Holy Ghost. Hold me for a little while longer. And then immorality is not in the streets. Immorality is in our homes and in our churches. It's not all what folks you think. It's some of the other folks who is holy. Let me give you an example here. This past December, I went someplace, and where I went, it was a dinner, and what was awful strange, there was a young lady who's a member of a church, and she had on one piece, and two-thirds of her body was out, and she was trying to dance. Young ladies, you take this from Ephraim. No man, even in the streets, will go with you anywhere when you are showing it all on the floor. I don't care what he tells you. Or he'll jive you in the dark. Oh, yeah. He'll ride you in the back seat of his car in the dark. Oh, yeah. He meets you out on Howe Avenue and Watt Avenue in the dark, but when light comes, he's going to get a lady to hang on his arm. That's real. Don't mess your life up showing all yourself on a dancing floor talking about, let me show you how I do it and get with it. Who are you getting with it for? I sit there and what a disgrace. How in the world is a race of people that we fall so low? And the Bible talks about, I said, immorality. And we as a church got to raise the standards for believers in Christ. And one preacher said that I don't believe in talking about immorality because we're all caught up in it. But then when you're saying something, don't always say all.
Say some. Now the church is responsible to help move. And then, my friend, it's arrogance. All of this is arrogance. Arrogance in the believer. There's no place in the believer for us to be arrogant. Well, look what God, look what I have. Look what I have. You don't know what I have. Well, now, what makes you arrogant? I guess there's one man in the Bible that was arrogant. Let me call your attention to him. He had been blessed by God. The earth brought forth substance. He built all kind of barns. He had old barns, couldn't put all what he had in them. He built new ones. And then he showed the world. He said, I'm going to show you and everybody else. He had the Bible said when he got to doing all that, the Bible says, he called his friends in and sit down. Said, Lord, now I'm going to take it easy. I got it made. I got my new barns and the old barns full. And God said, you fool, come home tonight. And your goods will be left for somebody else. We have no power, no strength, no reason to be arrogant. Our charge and responsibility is to be in praise, thanksgiving, love, joy, and peace, not arrogant. And then there is stealing. Now, a lot of people steal from themselves. You don't steal publicly, but you steal from yourself. And lying. It's nothing for a Christian to lie now. Excuse me, I got to tell this one. I didn't mean it like that, but just this one time. When you start, let me give you this. When you start, here's where you live now. When you start compromising once, you remember this. When you compromise once, it's easy twice. It's easier the third time. And then after then, the devil gets control of you. There is nowhere that you can compromise and control Satan. Can't be done. And then you have the number, I have three others that we got to pull off. Cussing. Now let me say this out of my spirit. Christians in Radio Land in this church, I don't care what preacher cuss, what deacon, what choir member, what pope, what bishop, it is biblically wrong. The Bible said don't let cussing and praise come out of the same mouth. Don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Well, Reverend, I can't help it. I have to cuss. Now you got to can't help it. Come to Jesus. Come to him and he'll cure all can't help it. And so the Bible says that then bitterness, unforgiving spirit, just all 99, holding some grudges and refusing to forgive folks of what they have done. And I tell you all, I pray every day, Lord, forgive me. Well, I haven't committed anything I know, but I know somewhere I thought something and somebody drove in front of me with their car and blocked me from moving forward. I know some idea run through my mind and Lord, I need you to forgive me so I can stay on track with Jesus. If I'm going to move forward, I got to pull it off and lay it aside. Now the Bible said, the malice, blaspheming. And let me tell you all about this blaspheming business. Yes, this is blaspheming. I know the old man upstairs. That's blaspheming God. Who do you know? Why do you get so familiar with God, you call him the old man upstairs? It's blaspheming to God to say, well, he's my buddy. God will never be your buddy. Never. God didn't buddy with John, and John was almost perfect. He didn't buddy with Elijah, and he's not going to buddy with you. That's blaspheming. God is so holy. He's so holy when you can't even look at him with your naked eye. God was so holy until he showed his backside to Moses, and that upset Moses. He's too holy for you to be his buddy. He got to be reverenced, lifted up above you. You look up to the God I serve. He's too powerful to be your buddy. If he's your buddy, you can't walk with him because he's so powerful. The ground he stands on, you can't stand there with him. God will never be your buddy. If he's your buddy, who's going to direct him? Yeah. so familiar with him. Bitterness ought to go away. Lay it aside if you want to be blessed. Now you pray. I'll be through shortly. I said these are the things we got to pull off in 19 and 91. If you want to move forward with Jesus, you've got to pull them off. And then it says, filthy communication out of your mouth. Let me give you something. Say, what is filthy communication? I'll give you three. One is, brother, I sure like to get that chick. Oh, what I could do. Get your wife. And don't y'all laugh too loud. Tell these sisters, the other sisters, boy, he sure is what I like. Sisters are worse than the men today. You can't turn. A sister will grab you in a minute. You better be careful. Everywhere you go, make that sure there's a lot of light, because there's some sister will grab you in a minute. You are going to grab the wrong thing in 91. I don't want to get into it. You're going to grab the wrong thing. It's going to be so hot you can't turn it loose and can't hold it. The Bible here says that, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deed. You put off the evilness of the old man. And he gives us a list of things where we can put on. And my friends, here are some things you ought to put on in 19 and 90, 91. You ought to put on his love. You ought to search and deal with inward sin. Oh, my friends, you ought to teach yourself to love one another with a pure love. I said to any man, I said it before and I said it again, any man that belongs to a church and doesn't love his pastor ought to leave. If he doesn't love his pastor, he ought to leave. Nowhere in the Bible God told you to stay anywhere if you don't love your pastor. It's not in the Bible. And you come this minute, I was here before you got here, you better be careful with that stuff, because God has a timetable. And your time is not his time. You need to put on love and demonstrate your love, and don't want folks to be like you. Want them to be like Jesus. And then this 19 and 91, you ought to put on, you ought to take, my friends, I'm talking about saying we ought to put on. We ought to take heed of ourselves with a forgiving spirit. We ought to exemplify some humility. I don't think there's no one man, I don't think so, that have been given more opportunities than I have. I just turned down 3 chairmanships of powerful boards. I turned them down because they interfere with the ministry the Lord Jesus has given me. Most people would have ran over people just to get their name flashing. I serve on this board. But I am already a permanent member of the everlasting board. And I don't have to exhort myself to get anything. And I said, my friends, we ought to have a forgiving spirit. We ought to be humble, display some humility. And then, my friends, we ought to put off, we ought to make the old man, we ought to kill him. Now, how you kill the old man? Stop feeding him. He'll die. 19 and 91, we ought to put on submission. Submit to Christ. Submit to the Holy Ghost. Submit to his power. Submit choir members to your director and your musician. Submit to them. If you don't submit to them, your singing is in vain. That's the Bible. And then we ought to have a broken spirit to do God's will. Let God mold you and shape you and break you after his own will. This 1991, we ought to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience, be thankful in everything, rejoice in even our trials and tribulation, because our trials and tribulations are there to make us grow. Don't you know a whole lot of things come your way, God sends them? I know we don't want to talk about that. You think God saved you to make you whole and happy all your life? God's going to send some trials to make you learn some lessons. And if he doesn't send you into trials, you'll be a weak, boneless Christian. That's why the churches are so full of weak folks. Can't stand up. They haven't had no trials, no tribulation. They don't know what it is for God to bring you through. We ought to put it on. You tell me a person that have had some trials and tribulations, God brought them through. They're strong. They're waiting for the next trial. Because if they did it once, he'll do it again. And then, my friend, you ought to put on. You ought to put on rejoicing. I said you ought to put on rejoicing. You ought to put on sanctification. You ought to say, now I'm not up here, but since I'm sanctified, I've been set apart. I was down here, but now I'm going up, and sooner or later I'd be up here where Jesus is. Sanctification is the process of going on up, not down. And my friends, then you ought to, 1991, you ought to put on power over the flesh. Now let me say a word about that. The flesh. You say, Reverend, I got my flesh under control. No, you don't. The right thing hadn't come along. No man can control his flesh, man or woman. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to give you power to control. Now, a lot of folks are not doing things not because they don't want to. There are three things about that. Some folks are not doing things. They're afraid to get caught. Some folks are not doing things because they can't do it no more. But the thoughts are there. So what you need, you need a God to give you power to control your age. It had nothing to do with your age, but if God saved you and made you, he can control you. So you ought to put it on this year. And then you ought to, then I'm going to give you three more and I'm through. Do all without mumbling. Now, saints, you hear me today. Mumbling is a sin. Mumbling is a sin. First thing I heard, and the next time I hear it, Brother Holloway, I'm going to call a name in the pulpit. First thing I heard after the business meeting, in this church the same night, I wonder this pastor going to keep his word and break ground this year. I don't have no word that I can't keep. Now, I'm not worried about what this is. I'm talking about their mumbling. Mumbling and mumbling and grumbling. And well, your mumbling and grumbling won't stop Jesus. My friends, God said to Israel, because you mumbling and grumbling, I'm going to kill all of you all. Mumbling is a sin from the heart. Grumbling. Why wasn't it me? Why didn't they call me? They don't like me. Well, so they didn't like Jesus. Mumbling, grumbling, complaining all the time. Be happy on some occasion. And then, my friend, it says, do all without complaining. And I close on that note. Do all without complaining. What do you mean by do all without complaint? I got up this morning. And my prayer to God was, Lord, thank you. This is my prayer. For you allowed me to see the first Sunday in 1991. That's my first word I said. And then number two, Lord, I thank you that I was able to be inside at 3 o'clock this morning, listening to the rain outside. Thank you. Then I said, Lord, thank you. Look at me moving my hand. Got up, made my own hot water. Lord, thank you for the body movements when I didn't have nobody help me. Walked in the shower by myself and ran water on me and soap. Thank you. You didn't have to do it. Looked at my wife. Lord, thank you. even with a fractured foot and broken toe, she could have been there. But I just want to thank you for all that you've done. And then I just looked up at him and said, if I missed anything, thank you for that. The reason I thank you, you just didn't have to do it, but you did it by yourself. And whatever I'm going to be in 1991, I want to thank you before I get there. The reason I want to thank you, one day I was lost and taken in my sin, and I heard a voice, come unto me. Oh, yeah, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I came to Jesus just as I was. I was wounded, wounded, and sad, but he found in him a resting place. He had made my soul glad. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise his holy name. Praise him. Praise him. I'm moving forward with Jesus. Lay him aside. I challenge you. Lay your weights aside. And run this race with patience, with God on your trial. He'll do that. You got to lay down some stuff. Oh, I can't lay it down, Reverend. You don't want to say, oh, you don't have to. What you do this afternoon, I'm giving you an opportunity to come. You got some stuff you want to lay down. You come get on your knees. You can't get on your knees here. Get on your knees in your pew. Don't worry about what you tear. Don't worry about what bust. Don't worry about what happened. Just get on your knees. Say, Lord, here's what I got to leave. I got to lay it down. Hallelujah. You know, and tell, leave it here, though. God will give you power to leave it here. Now, Father, we have done what you said. Let those in the balcony, the overflow room, and the main floor will be coming. Those going to join this church, take these chairs in front of me. Those going to leave it at the altar, would either buy in your pew, buy in front of the altar, and leave it here. Give them smooth sailing in 1991. We give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Today, the Holy Spirit is speaking. You're in the balcony. You're in the overflow room. You're in the main floor. Here's where you lay it down. And don't pick it up. When you every time it comes across your mind, Lord, help me. Lord, bless me. Come. Give it to him. If you want to join this church, take these chairs in front of me. Take these chairs here in front of me. Come today. Let us stand. Come today. Come today. Come today. The Holy Spirit speaking. You have to be willing to come. You have to be willing. Give it to him. Whatever, whenever it comes upon it, come and say, Lord, I'm leaving it, giving it to you. Will you come today? Those who want to join this church, take these chairs in front of me. Those who want to join the church, take these chairs in front of me. Take these chairs in front of me. Those who want to join this church, take these chairs in front of me. Wherever you are, the others bow. Leave it on the altar today. Oh, yes. Will you come today? All Lamb of God. They're coming. They're coming. Saints, keep praying. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming today. They're coming. Keep praying, saints. While they're coming, you keep praying. Just keep praying, saints. You're in the back of the overflow room. You have time to come. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Will that be another one? Will that be another one? Will that be another one? Say yes to him. While the Holy Spirit is moving on you, would you say yes? Don't turn him down today. Don't turn him down. Don't turn him down. While he's speaking to your heart, would you say yes? Will you say yes today? Will you say yes today? Will you just say yes to him today? Will you just say yes to him today? Will that be another one? Oh, Lamb of God, will that be another one today? While the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, will you say yes to him today? While he's speaking to your heart, will there be another one? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Bow and pray together. Our Father, we have our brothers and our sisters who are here bowing at the feet of mercy. They come to bring various weights to the altar. And since you've said in your word that if we bring them, you have power to keep them. Oh, gracious Father, move within their hearts. Unite your spirit with theirs. Let their will be your will. Supply their uttermost requests. Honor, master, their confession. And give them power to rise and go in your name. We'll leave here today shouting, giving you the glory and the honor. Remember their homes in a special way. Lord, how we thank you in the name of Jesus. Help us to show and demonstrate real, genuine love in a family like this. Bless them. Touch them. Keep them. In Jesus' name. Amen.